And let us not grow weary of doing good, for in due season we will reap if we do not give up. Galatians 6, verse 9. Hi, I'm Rob West. One Christian ministry has been doing good for nearly 150 years and shows zero signs of growing weary. Scott Collins joins us today to talk about Buckner International and its ongoing efforts to support foster care, adoption, and family outreach. And then it's on to your calls at 800-525-7000. That's 800-525-7000. This is Faith and Finance on American Family Radio. Biblical wisdom for your financial decisions. Well, it's a pleasure to welcome Scott Collins to the program. Scott is Senior Vice President of Communications at Buckner International, an underwriter of this program. And Scott, it's great to have you here with us.
Thanks, Rob. What a joy to be with you and to share some time together.
Scott, last month we reported on Buckner Shoes for Orphan Souls program that, just like it sounds, provides shoes for at-risk kids around the world. But that's just one of many great ministry efforts of Buckner International. So we'd love for you to give us a brief history of Buckner, which actually started out in 1879, right?
That's right. So, yes, this is our 145th anniversary, if you can believe
it.
We were founded by a pastor named R.C. Buckner, who moved to Texas partly for health reasons, but we believe God used that move to really enlighten him to the needs of widows and orphans, James 1:27, in a post-Civil War era. He was a visionary. He was also a tremendous Christian businessman, really, running his ministry in a very efficient way. He started off with a vision from God to begin an orphan's home in Texas. And he went to the lay people of Texas, particularly deacons, and organized the deacons to help get behind this effort, believing that that was a job that Christ had commissioned deacons to do. And he eventually passed a hat. And out of that, they collected $27 to start the effort. He launched it. They hired him. They formed a board. And then April 9th of 1879, they officially filed papers with the state of Texas. And then the first three orphan children were welcomed to Buckner Orphan's Home in December of 1879. So a long history there.
Yeah, it sure is. Well, let's fast forward to today. Give us an overview of what Buckner International is doing.
We have held tight to our biblical principles. People ask, how have you lasted 145 years? And my answer has always been, we've never had mission drift. We know who we are. Our mission is to follow the example of Jesus by serving vulnerable children, families, and senior adults. And so today, that takes different forms. We work to protect children. We work to strengthen families. We want to transform generations. And then one of the things we do is we serve seniors. We offer foster care and adoption for children and for families. It's been a tremendous part of our ministry, really, from the beginning, 145 years ago. But we also work in vulnerable areas to strengthen families through the Buckner Family Hope Center. And then several years ago, we started a program. We asked ourselves, what could we do to ensure that children never have to be taken from a home where God placed them to begin with? So we do family strengthening programs. And one of those particularly works with single parents, where they come and live with us and we help them get an education while caring for their children. We teach them classes like faith and finance, actually. And we also provide Christian counseling and Bible study while they work to get a college degree. And then, of course, a key area for us is serving seniors. You know, James 1:27 includes the widows as well. So we work hard to serve seniors through senior living communities throughout the state of Texas.
Well, you all have a lot going on. And of course, the real goal of all of this work is to lead people to Christ. How is the Lord using Buckner in this way, Scott?
Last year alone, we saw over 275 people accept Christ through the ministries we do. And many years, it's more than that, close to 400. So just through the ministry we do of being the hands and feet of Jesus is a way to introduce them to Christ.
That's powerful. Obviously, our listeners, I imagine, are going to want to learn more or get involved in this work. And how can they help you in these efforts?
Obviously, our website, buckner.org, and they can click on donate, and there are opportunities there to support our work.
Excellent. We're grateful for our partnership, and thanks for your time today, Scott.
Thanks, Rob.
All right, folks, if you want to learn more, head to buckner.org. That's buckner.org. www.bibleprinciples.org. Click donate and learn more about the incredible ministry opportunities taking place every day. That was Scott Collins, Vice President for Communications at Buckner International, a truly great ministry doing good all around the world. Your calls are next. 800-525-7000. Stick around. We'll be right back.
For your walk with Jesus, I'm David Wolin with Haven Today, inviting you to anchor your day in God's Word. What do you think is the most common time of day that people pray? If I had to guess, I'd say it's when families sit around the table for a meal. And this is a good thing. It's something the Lord Jesus taught and modeled for His own disciples. In the Lord's Prayer, Jesus helps us to grow in our prayer life, and one of those petitions comes from Matthew 6. Give us today our daily bread. It reminds us that God is not only concerned with our inner spiritual life, He provides for every need, and that includes the meals we enjoy together. So it's good to thank and to ask Him to continue to provide, and not just for our meals, but for everyone who is in need. You'll grow in your walk with Christ through daily time in God's Word. Visit getanchor.com.
As the leading advocate for the Christian financial industry, Kingdom Advisors serves the public by promoting the integration of a biblical worldview across every aspect of the financial services industry. And we serve a growing network of thousands of Christian financial professionals, equipping and empowering them to carry biblical financial wisdom to their clients, peers, and community. For more information, visit KingdomAdvisors.com. That's KingdomAdvisors.com.
To all of our friends on American Family Radio, this is Michael Brown. Thrilled to announce to you that we have a brand new 30-minute daily equipping broadcast that will light a fresh fire in your life and will infuse you with faith and truth and courage to help you stand strong in the Lord. It's coming your way. 12:30 every single night, 5 days a week. Don't miss a single broadcast on the Line of Fire. I believe your life will be changed.
What if buying groceries, gas, or dining out could help change lives? With Christian Community Credit Union's Cards That Give to Missions, you can help spread the gospel, combat human trafficking, and protect vulnerable children with every purchase at no cost to you. Apply for your card today. More information is available at joinchristiancommunity.com. That's joinchristiancommunity.com. The credit union is an underwriter of this ministry. Membership eligibility required.
Do you feel like your hands are tied with debt, preventing you from serving God? If you have credit card debt, Christian credit counselors can help. Through our debt management program, we can get you out of credit card debt about 80% faster while honoring your debt in full. For more information on how Christian credit counselors can help, visit ChristianCreditCounselors.org. That's ChristianCreditCounselors.org or call 800-557-1985. 800-557-1985.
I'm so glad you joined us today on Faith and Finance right here on American Family Radio. I'm Rob West, and we're ready to take your calls and questions today. The number to call, 800-525-7000. That's right, we're addressing your financial concerns in light of biblical wisdom. So whatever's on your mind in your financial life today, we'd love to talk about it. Again, that number, 800-525-7000. I'd also love to hear any of your testimonies. Perhaps God's been at work in your financial life as of late. You'd love to give testimony to that. You can call with that as well. Again, 800-525-7000. We've got lines open. Our team is ready for you right now. Also coming up a little later in our broadcast, Jerry Boyer will stop by. Jerry's our resident economist. We'll find out what is moving the markets this week. We've been selling off, although today kind of flat as we wait for some additional inflation data, but the market's been under some pressure as of late, and we'll see what the inflation data says and where that might take the markets here in our final trading day of the week. In the news today, an increasing number of Americans are having trouble paying their bills. That's according to a new report by NerdWallet. It found that 37% of Americans were late on a bill in the past year and were charged a late fee.
Late fees on credit cards were the most common, of course, with 21% of respondents getting hit with at least one. News of increasing late fees isn't surprising, though, as we reported earlier that credit card debt is now at an all-time high in the U.S., just over $1.1 trillion. Yes, that's with a T. If you're having trouble meeting your monthly bills, here's a few steps you might want to think about. First of all, contact your creditors. Run to them, not from them. Let's not stick those envelopes unopened in a drawer and hope they'll go away. They won't. Let's lean into the problem. Ask about removing a late payment from your credit report if the account is brought up to date. Sometimes they'll do that. If you have more than $4,000 in debt, I would say contact our friends at ChristianCreditCounselors.org for help. They can get you on a debt management plan that will reduce your interest rate and combine your payments into one monthly payment. On average, you'll pay off that debt 80% faster. You will pay that debt in full, and that's just a combination of that level payment. That just simply means as the balance declines, you continue to send the same amount, so it's a higher percentage of the balance each month. But secondly, you're going to get a dramatic reduction in interest rates, typically a half or more lower than what it is right now. And doing that, I find, is the very best way to, first of all, establish the new rhythms or disciplines around getting on a balanced budget within your means, working to pay this off over time, not with a quick fix. And that is ultimately, I think, going to change your behavior. At least that's my experience, that will allow you to never get back in this situation again. I would say, of course, stop using those credit cards and get on a budget. The new FaithFi app 4.0 can help with that. It's our latest edition with all new features and a new fresh design. You can find it in your app store. It'll help you set up your budget and track your spending, because here's the key. It's no good if you just set up the budget and then you don't stick with it. You've got to have a plan to stay on budget. That's where the digital envelope system can help. Julie and I use it every day. We're in there. She was just asking me yesterday, hey, what's left in the girls' clothing category? Because we're getting ready to head out and do some shopping before they head out on the mission trip next week. And so we were able to just pull up that FaithFi app, look into our clothing envelope for each of our girls, and find out exactly what was left. Of course, it wasn't as much as they were hoping, but nevertheless, we had the information. So if you want to check it out, just go to our website, faithfi.com, click app, or maybe you just head straight to your app store, Google Play or Apple. Just search for FaithFi. That's Faith F-I. All right, we're going to dive into some questions today. Again, we have lines open. We're ready for you. Anything financial today, living, giving, owing, or growing God's money, 800-525-7000. You can call right now. Let's begin today in Albuquerque, New Mexico. Hi, Ann. Go ahead.
Yes. Thank you for taking my call.
Yes, ma'am.
I have, this is a question in regard to a line of equity or reverse mortgage. Okay. I own a condo, which the equity is about $220,000 on it. I do have a mortgage balance of $50,000. And what I want to do, I'm 82 years young.
Okay.
And I want to pay off a funeral expense of $10,000. And I have a credit card debt of about $15,000. So I'm trying to, and I need some guidance, whether an equity line of credit would be advisable or a reverse mortgage.
Yeah, that's really helpful background. And talk to me just about kind of day to day and month to month, how you're doing with your income versus your expenses. Are you able to live within your means just based on the income you have?
I believe so. Yes. I excuse me. I work part time, and my total income for the month is about $4,000 with Social Security and two pensions. And as far as my expenses go, I put away, or I attempt to put away, the about $1,000 a month, because I don't have, I have not been very good with money management. And so I'm trying to follow the guidelines that you present on the air. And
yes,
I'm working on emergency fund.
Great.
So I have about $10,000 in the emergency fund right now.
Excellent.
And I'm trying to get it up to about 18, which would cover about 6 months at $3,000 per month.
Yes,
I don't want to count on the part-time employment because, as you know, things fluctuate. So without that part-time employment, I have about $3,000 a month, and I try my best to live within that.
Okay, very good. Yeah, that's great. Well, well done, Ann. You're doing a great job. Now, obviously, your ability to cover your bills and put away $1,000 a month includes you paying on, I guess, the minimum on the credit cards. Is that right?
Well, I pay about $400 a month on the credit card. I try to pay a little bit more than the minimum.
Yeah.
I would love to get rid of it, so I'm trying to pay a little more than that.
Very good. And obviously the mortgage payments in there as well. You know, what you may want to consider is, I mean, I don't love the idea of you adding a second mortgage, a home equity line of credit, to definitely not to pay off credit card debt, because we're taking unsecured debt and making it secured. But I understand you also have this funeral expense you're trying to pay off. One option might be to go ahead and get the reverse mortgage, not convert that into an income stream, but just simply to pay off the existing mortgage and perhaps the funeral expense. So your 50 becomes 60, but now you just eliminated your monthly payment for the rest of your life. Now, if you want to pay it down, you can, and you have the ability to do that. Great, but you don't have to, because with the reverse mortgage, that payment goes away. And then that's going to give you even more cash flow, because now you have $1,000 a month, as long as you continue to work part time. But with the reverse mortgage, now you'd be able to add to that what you were sending to the mortgage every month. And so maybe you're paying, you know, you're sending 15 or 1500 or 1600. And then let's take that. And now that you've got the 10,000 in emergency savings, let's freeze that and attack the credit cards. Let's not roll that into the reverse mortgage. Let's take that extra surplus plus the $1,000, and maybe 6 or 8 months from now, that credit card debt's gone. And then we continue building up the emergency fund. Does that all make sense?
Yes. So let me understand your, advising a reverse mortgage, not a line of equity credit. Is that correct?
I'm suggesting that may be the better option, because I would rather you get rid of the monthly payment if you don't have to have it. But let's do this. I've got to take a break. You and I will finish up off the air, and we'll be right back on Faith and Finance. Stay with us.
The American Family Association's mission is to inform, equip, and activate individuals to strengthen the moral foundations of our culture. We also support the church. Our goal is to be a leading organization in biblical worldview training for cultural transformation. We believe true morality flows from biblical principles and directs people to the manner in which God intends them to live.
Thank you for standing with the American Family Association as we seek to stop the erosion of godly values.
FaithFi is grateful for support from OneAscent. OneAscent believes that your values inspire why you invest and how they can inspire how you invest. OneAscent's goal is to provide solutions designed for every need and invest in businesses that bless the people and places God has made. They want to help investors do well by doing good, to explore a new way of investing that aligns with your values. More information is available at OneAscent.com and by clicking Analyze My Investments.
Transgenderism, critical race theory, and evolution. Is your child or grandchild ready to face these and other issues on campus? Hi, I'm Kirby Anderson with Probe Ministries and Point of View. You know, many Christians leave the church after they graduate, but they don't have to graduate from God. That's why we have the Mind Games Camp this year, June 16 to 22nd, a week of presentations, role play, as well as fun at camp. Sign up today at probe.org and help them meet these challenges to their faith.
We are grateful for support from Sound Mind Investing in the Faith and Finance program. If you have money in a retirement account or just a general investing account, you know the stock market can sometimes seem like a roller coaster. But it is possible to enjoy both profit and peace of mind in investing, no matter what's happening in the market. You can see a short video webinar on that topic at soundmindinvesting.org. Since 1990, Sound Mind Investing has sought to offer financial wisdom for living well. soundmindinvesting.org.
Here's Rob West of Faith and Finance, heard here daily on American Family Radio.
We understand how important it is for Christians to leave a legacy that will impact generations to come. One way you can do that is through a charitable gift annuity from the AFA Foundation.
Call 800-326-4543, extension 345. That's 800-326-4543, extension 345. Or visit them online at afafoundation.net.
Paying too much for health insurance? Frustrated by high deductibles and increasing premiums? There's a better way. Christian Healthcare Ministries. CHM is a Christian community delivering a faith-based solution to the high costs of healthcare. Take control over your healthcare costs with a program from CHM that could save you up to 40%. Learn more and enroll today at chministries.org/faithfi. That's chministries.org/faithfi.
Hey, thanks for joining us today on Faith and Finance here on American Family Radio. Excuse me. Our goal here at Faith and Finance is that God would be your ultimate treasure. You know, we recognize money issues are heart issues. Those aren't my words. Jesus said, you remember this? Where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. So we know that our heart follows our money, which means every spending decision is ultimately a spiritual decision. Yes, at its surface, it's a spending decision. It's an allocation of God's resources. But beneath that, there's values and priorities. There's, our upbringing and our background related to money. There's our wiring by God in terms of our temperament and our personality. And all of that then informs the decisions we make, how tightly we hold money or how loosely, but also the messages of this world that really draw us into this idea that we can find significance and happiness or joy, peace of mind in having the things of this world. Now, don't get me wrong. There's nothing wrong with enjoying what God has entrusted to us, and money can make our lives easier. It can, you know, we can use it to do things that create experiences or memories with family. There's nothing wrong with that. We can provide. We can give it away. Those are all good things. It's just that when the money becomes the end, not the means to an end, and we think that it will fill a place that was only designed to be filled by God himself as our ultimate treasure, well, that's when we get out of God's design. And so when we put money in its proper context, and that is a tool to accomplish God's purposes, well, it changes everything because God is our ultimate treasure. We're focused on the eternal, that which is to come. And the temporal, yes, we can enjoy, and yes, we can provide, but it doesn't become our objective because we know that we don't have to look very far to see plenty of people who have a lot of money whose lives are a mess. And that's because it's not about the money. It's about treasuring God and then handling money in such a way that it's evident that God is our ultimate treasure. Well, we want to help you do that each day on this program, but we also recognize you have practical decisions and choices you're trying to make in your financial life each day. And so we want to help you tackle those. The number to call with your questions today, 800-525-7000. That's 800-525-7000. We'd love to hear from you today with whatever is on your mind. Let's tackle some emails today. By the way, Jared sent this recently. He said, we recently discovered some stock certificates from 1970 that my grandparents owned. How can we find out whether these certificates have any redeemable value? Let me tell you, Jared, first, you just want to check to see, is the company still traded on a stock exchange? You can do this at many major financial websites. You can also try to contact the certificate transfer agent, which should be listed on the certificate itself. Now, if the transfer agent no longer exists, you'll want to contact the state agency that handles incorporation where the company was established. That office may provide a way to search online for information on that company. Many public libraries also have reference materials for old stock certificates. If all that fails and you have a brokerage account, you can ask your broker if they can help you determine the value of the certificates. Provide that CUSIP number, that's CUSIP. You'll see that printed on the certificate, and hopefully they'll be able to help you. I think you'll get there. It may take some legwork, but thanks for writing to us. By the way, if you have a question, send it along. Ask Rob at faithfi.com. All right, back to the phones we go. We have two lines open, 800-525-7000. To Louisiana. Hi, Mary. Go ahead.
Good morning. I have a question. It's kind of basically what you were telling a lady a few minutes ago. Say if I was interested in doing a reverse mortgage, once you do that, that means that house no longer would belong to me?
No, it just has a lien against it. So it's similar to you having a conventional mortgage. You're still on the deed. It's just that that loan, that mortgage has to be satisfied before you can transfer or sell the home to somebody else with a clear title. So it's just like any other mortgage, Mary. There is one distinction, though, that actually works in the favor of the reverse mortgage. So if you have a conventional mortgage, so a typical mortgage that you'd have on your home where you make a scheduled monthly payment over 30 years, you are signing personally for that mortgage. So yes, the home is serving as collateral, but if the home ever lost value and you owed more on that mortgage than the home was worth and you tried to sell it and the sale price didn't give you enough to pay off the mortgage, you'd be personally responsible to make sure that the mortgage is paid in full. With the reverse mortgage, that's not the case. The only collateral for the reverse mortgage is the home. And if the home lost value and the mortgage ended up being more than the home was worth, the Federal Housing Administration, the FHA, steps in and makes up that difference. So you never have anything beyond the value of the home. Now, if the mortgage, the reverse mortgage, ended up being less than the home was worth, well, then after it's paid, whatever's remaining from the sale could be passed on to your heirs. But you still own the home. It's just that the reverse mortgage has to be paid either when you sell it or at your death. Does that make sense?
Yeah, so you can do it like a reverse mortgage for probably about a year.
Well, so you've got a few options with a reverse mortgage. So you can use it. Do you have an existing mortgage on your home?
Yes, sir.
Okay. And what is the balance roughly of that mortgage? Do you know?
Not right offhand, but it's...
Okay. Is it less than half of the value of the home?
Not really.
Okay. Yeah, so that wouldn't work. You have to have at least 50% equity in the house. So the mortgage that you have today couldn't be more than 50% of the value of the home. So if your home's worth $200,000, you'd have to have a mortgage less than $100,000 in order to qualify. So if you don't, you would need to wait, because that's one of the two big criteria. You have to be at least 62, and you have to have at least 50% equity in the house. So perhaps you continue paying on that mortgage, and then when you get to 50%, because you're paying down the mortgage and your house is appreciating, well, then you could consider it. And one of the benefits is, even if you didn't take any additional money out, you could just pay off your existing mortgage, again, assuming it's half the value or less, with the reverse mortgage, and then you just eliminate that mortgage payment, which could help you balance your budget if you're running really tight in this season of life. Hope that helps you, Mary. Thanks for your call. We've got lines filling up. We'll be back with your questions right after this break on Faith and Finance on American Family Radio. Stick around. 19. That's how many pairs of shoes the average American has in their closet. 1. That's how many pairs of shoes it takes to share health, education, opportunity, and the love of Christ to a child in need in the world. You can play a part in changing the life of a child today through Buckner Shoes for Orphan Souls. Visit giveshoestoday.org and find out how you can provide shoes for a child in need. That's giveshoestoday.org.
We don't have to be like the 10 that said it can't be done, it's too big, the giants are too big. We need to be like Joshua and Caleb and say, you know what, there are giants. This is a massive problem. When you have a nation that is ignorant of the principles that produce a free society, start where you can. It's the only way I know. It's a little bit at a time.
Join Walker Wildman and Rick Green as they tackle today's issues from a biblical and a constitutional perspective. At the Core, 1 p.m. Central weekdays on AFR.
We are grateful for support from the Eventide Center for Faith and Investing. ECFI is an educational initiative of Eventide Asset Management that seeks to help Christians understand and practice biblically faithful investing. They do this through their podcast and online journal featuring articles from industry thought leaders and their course called Discover God's Story for Investing. More information is available at faithandinvesting.com. That's faithandinvesting.com.
Absolutely free. We know you've learned to be suspicious of those words, but really, you can get biblical financial wisdom delivered to your inbox each week absolutely free. articles, videos, podcasts, and special offers on biblical resources. Nearly 60,000 people receive our free weekly wisdom email, and you can too. Create your free FaithFi account by going to faithfi.com and click sign up to begin receiving weekly wisdom in your inbox.
When you hear this,
this is American Family News.
You know what follows is the truth. Your news from a Christian perspective.
Hundreds of teachers are going to have to walk into that school building and they are forced to swallow political ideology that in many cases violates their very faith and conscience.
If you miss it at the top of the hour, American Family News podcasts are available at afn.net. And sign up for our daily news brief at afn.net.
Are you a financial advisor or CPA seeking to build your practice on biblical wisdom? Not only does the Certified Kingdom Advisor education provide you with deep biblical insights, the CKA designation sets you apart. Each year, almost 50,000 people search for a Christian financial advisor. Join our community and share your expertise with clients looking for someone who shares their faith and values. Find more information at kingdomadvisors.com/getcertified.
This is American Family Radio, a listener-supported ministry of the American Family Association.
Great to have you with us today on Faith and Finance here at American Family Radio. I'm Rob West. We're taking your calls and questions today, 800-525-7000. That's 800-525-7000. You can call right now. Let's head to Oklahoma. Kent, thanks for calling, sir. How can I help?
Hi, I've got a question. I'm looking at purchasing some land and paying cash for it, but I am looking at putting it into a irrevocable trust, so that way when I pass, it can just go right to my children and grandchildren and not go through probate court.
Okay.
Or have all the taxes and fees and everything that, you know, happen when somebody dies.
Sure. Yeah. So you're probably talking about a revocable trust as opposed to an irrevocable trust. The difference being that with a revocable trust, you can still accomplish what you're describing, which is the efficient transfer of the property outside of probate. But with an irrevocable trust, you lose control over that asset. So if at some point you wanted to change the beneficiary designation, well, there's not a beneficiary, but you wanted to change how it ultimately was transferred at your death. You wanted to make, you know, have control over the property to sell it. I mean, all of that is gone in an irrevocable trust. But with a revocable trust, you have control over it. You can make changes to it during your life, but you can still handle the efficient transfer. Is that perhaps what you're looking for?
Yeah, that's what I'm looking for. But
okay.
Now with the revocable trust, does that keep, you know, all the, you know, like inheritance tax and everything, does that keep all of that away, or will there still be some of that tax?
Yeah, there still would be tax on estate tax. The challenge is that, you know, right now, there's no estate tax, at least at a federal level, until you get above a $13 million estate. So, you know, you just have to make sure that it's worth the expense, that you are actually going to have the estate tax before you would make a decision, I think, to put it in an irrevocable trust, which has, you know, certain things that you're going to bring along with it, not only the cost of putting that irrevocable trust to be together, but just that loss of control, I think, comes with a price. And you need to make sure that, you know, you're in a situation where that's actually going to apply. Now, once the Tax Cuts and Jobs Act expires in 2025, going into 2026, depending on what happens in the election in November and so forth, that $13 million is likely going to drop to $5 million. But even then, if you don't have an estate above $5 million, you're probably not looking at estate taxes. And so that's probably, you know, not an issue. So I would talk to an estate attorney before you made that decision. You also could do a different type of tool, what's called a transfer on death deed, which is allowed in Oklahoma.
and it's not not available in every state, but it is in Oklahoma. And this would be a much more cost-effective way for you to transfer the property to another person or other people to receive the real estate without going through probate, and it wouldn't have to, you wouldn't have to go through the expense of creating the trust. So that's another way. Think about it like a beneficiary designation on a on an investment account or a life insurance policy. Whenever you have a beneficiary designation, it passes outside of probate. It doesn't go according to your will. It goes straight to that individual. The same is true with property when you have a transfer on death deed. So that would be another more cost-effective way if, again, you're not concerned about estate taxes.
Yeah, the property I'm buying is going to be in Texas.
Okay. All right. I would need to look about whether you can do that in Texas. Let me just see here real quick. Yes, it does. It does. It is permitted in the state of Texas.
Okay.
So I think that would be the next step, is for you to talk to an attorney. I am not an attorney. We're talking about just kind of general ideas here. So I think your next step is to get with an estate attorney, talk about your goals, both with regard to, you know, estate taxes, if that's going to be an issue, it likely won't, with the efficient transfer of the property at your death, and then determine whether a revocable trust does make sense or whether you can accomplish it in a simpler, less, you know, more cost-effective way. All right.
All right. Thank you very much.
You're welcome, Kent. Thanks for calling today. God bless you, my friend. 800-525-7000 is the number to call. Let's go to Mississippi. Hi, Diane. How can I help?
Hi. I have $400, and I don't know if I should put it in my IRA that has $2,000 in it, or my husband's IRA that he has $80,000, or put $400 extra on my mortgage.
Okay, great question. So you said you have $400 just kind of sitting around, that's correct?
Yeah. Yep.
Okay, and let's talk about, even before we talk about the IRAs and your mortgage, what I call your emergency fund, liquid savings. How much do you have there?
I have $3,000.
Okay, and what do you all spend on a monthly basis?
I don't know, but we make $2,800.
Okay. And do you usually have a little bit left over?
Yeah, we have about $800 left all the time.
Okay, got it. Yeah, I mean, if you're spending $2,000 a month, which is what it sounds like, I'd love for you to have at least $12,000, Diane, in liquid savings. Now, the good news is today you can do a high-yield savings account, and that, you know, is paying 5% a year. So you can get a decent rate of return, at least right now while interest rates are higher. But I'd love for you to have more than that $3,000 in savings, because that's only going to give you a month and a half worth of expenses. And if you had some major expense that comes out of left field and you put it in your IRA, you'd have to pay taxes on it when it comes out. And or if you put it on the mortgage, you no longer have access to it. You know, given that it's $400, and if you were saying, Rob, I've already got $12,000 in savings, then I'd say, great, let's, you know, either throw it in the IRA and reduce your taxes a little bit, get more working for you, or let's put it against the mortgage. Either of those could be great options. But just given the fact that you only have $3,000, I'd leave it right there and just add it to your savings if it were me.
Okay, that sounds good.
Okay. Thanks, Diane. We appreciate your call today. May the Lord bless you. Again, the number to call today, 800-525-7000. Ann in Virginia, we're going to be taking a break here in just a moment, so you stay right there, and we'll get to you after the break as well. Also, Jerry Boyer coming up. Jerry's going to stop by today. We'll talk about some of the work he's been doing in the corporate engagement space. Big meetings and proposals going on at Merck. You'll recognize that name. Big pharmaceutical company. Also with Exxon this week. He'll tell us what that is indicating. And what does the futures market look like? Did you realize there's a futures market with regard to the presidential election? What happened in that futures market? These are real people putting money on whether they think one candidate will win over the other. Well, what happened in those markets after the Trump verdict? Jerry will give us that. And finally, the markets are responding to the Fed hints and inflation data. So all of that ahead. Jerry's got a lot to talk about today. We'll tackle that in the next segment. We'll also try to get to the remaining phone calls today as well. Listen, folks, as we talk about managing God's money, here's what I want you to know. This is a high calling. We're money managers of the King of Kings. Our goal, faithfulness. We look to God's word. We manage money with God as our ultimate treasure, making wise decisions based on a biblical worldview. Much more to come. Stay with us. We'll be right back.
This weekend on The Stand Radio, Greg Von Tobel joins us to talk about spiritual transformation through biblical fasting.
And somewhere between day 15 and day 20, you start seeing with spiritual eyes. And the presence of the Holy Spirit is extremely heavy in everything that you think and speak.
The Stand Radio, Saturdays at 4 and Sundays at 8 p.m. Central on AFR.
Here's Pastor Jeff Shreve with From His Heart Ministries.
Think how different your life would be if you really believed that you, little old you, were a person whom Jesus loves. You let that settle in your heart and it blows you away every time you think about it. Wow.
Discover how to have a life that really matters. Join Pastor Jeff Shreve on From His Heart, weeknights at 6 Central here on American Family Radio.
When you hear the phrase, rich toward God, what comes to mind? Surely it doesn't mean making God rich. Is it about us becoming rich so we can give? Or maybe it's an invitation to something much bigger. In the new Rich Toward God study, FaithFi has created a way for you to explore and reflect on a well-known biblical parable about a very rich man with a very big problem. Request a copy of the Rich Toward God study today with your gift of $25 or more by going to faithfi.com/give.
We are grateful for support from Timothy Plan. Are you unsure if your investments align with your values? Well, for nearly three decades, the goal of the Timothy Plan has been to guide clients on a biblically responsible journey with its mutual funds and ETFs. More information is available at timothyplan.com. Investing includes risk, including possible loss of principal. Before investing, carefully consider funds, investment objectives, risks, charges, and expenses contained in the prospectus available at timothyplan.com. Read carefully before investing. Mutual funds distributed by Timothy Partners LTD and ETFs distributed by Foresight Fund Services LLC.
Hey, thanks for joining us today on Faith and Finance here on American Family Radio. I'm Rob West. We'll be talking to Jerry Boyer here in just a moment. We'll get his update on the futures market with regard to the election. How did that change in light of the Trump verdict? We'll tell you that straight ahead, plus the economy and corporate engagement. Some big meetings this week that Jerry was a part of. But first, let's head back to the phones. We're going to go to Mississippi and welcome Rose. Go ahead. Hi, Rose. How can
we
help?
Good morning. I'm calling in regards to property that my mother purchased with an uncle in Oklahoma. I'm from Omaha, Nebraska. I recently found it was sent to me some papers, some information in regards to the sale of that property. The money was distributed to some family members that I'm aware of their names that's on the paper, but there's some names that I know that aren't family members. This seems like something went terribly wrong with the honesty of the sale of the property. It had acacia wood on it. It was about 10 acres. I'm wondering, under the circumstances, do I have a way or means to look into this to see if I was the property was stolen. I mean, the funds that came from the sale of the property was stolen from me and my brother, who passed away in 2016.
Yes.
What do you think? You understand what I'm saying?
I sure do. Yeah. So what you would typically want to do in a situation like this, I mean, where there's an improper distribution based on a will, do you know whether there was a valid will in place?
I sure don't.
Okay. So you'd probably want to contact an attorney, Rose, just to help you navigate this. They can petition the court and talk to the executor of the state, the estate, who would be the person, if there's a valid will, if the deceased had a will, the court then appoints a person named in the will as executor. And they have several important responsibilities, including, you know, distributing the deceased's assets according to the terms of the will. And the executor should, you know, always take great care in doing that, as an improper distribution is often a cause for a legal dispute. And so if you, you know, have a question about how that went down, I would contact an attorney who can petition the court and then get the details on the probate process. Who was the executor? Was there a valid will in place? And this property that was liquidated should have been distributed in accordance with that will. If there was no will, then that person is considered to be intestate. And again, the estate or the probate court then would distribute according to state law.
Okay, yes, sir. I thought there was something that was just not done right here.
Yeah. So I think it's worth looking into. And if you don't have an attorney that you know, perhaps you reach out to your church and ask for a referral, or you could connect with a certified kingdom advisor at Rose in your area and ask for a referral as well. Just go to faithfi.com, click find a professional. But I hope you get this sorted out. I know this can be a little concerning, but I'm sure there's an answer here that you can get to the bottom of if you follow the right channels. We appreciate your call today. May the Lord bless you. And stay right there. We will be coming to you here in just a moment. But first, here on a Friday, our good friend Jerry Boyer stops by. Jerry's a resident economist. He's a frequent contributor at World News Group. He's the president of Boyer Research. And Jerry, we've got a lot to cover today. Let's start with the futures market. You know, we had a Trump verdict yesterday. Probably didn't catch many by surprise. But what our listeners may not know is that there's actually a futures market for presidential elections. Give us a background on that and then tell us what it's looking like.
Yeah, there is. And I'm going to talk fast because we don't want to keep Ann waiting for too long. So, a futures market is a market where instead of buying oil futures or natural gas futures or soybean futures, you buy presidential election futures. Well, what does that mean? What that means is, let's say you buy a Trump future, and if you spend $53 on that and he wins, you get $100. And if he loses, you get $0. And what that implies is that the markets think, the people participating in these futures markets think, that there's a 53% probability that he'll win. See, if a chance at winning $100 if he wins, yeah, costs $53, then that's implying that there's a 53% chance that he's going to win, which I guess I just said the same thing twice. So you can infer a probability from the price of that future. So it was really interesting to watch this. Generally, Trump has been ahead in the futures markets. Futures markets have a better prediction rate than any pundits. I'm a pundit, and I'm giving up. They're better at it than I am.
Yes.
So with the verdict yesterday, it flipped for a few hours. In other words, I think the markets were saying, well, wait a minute, Americans are not going to elect a convicted felon. And then it flipped back. And now Trump is almost back to, he was about 10 percentage points ahead before all this, and now he's about 6 percentage points ahead. And I think what's happening is that you can look at this, American people can look at this two different ways. One, it can be, do we want a convicted felon to become president? But the other way of looking at it is, do we want a presidential candidate who's running in opposition to the current administration to be able to become a convicted felon in, you know, under the auspices of a liberal jurisdiction and a liberal prosecutor? In other words, is this Trump is a criminal, therefore he's not fit to be president, or is this he's an opposition candidate and the political apparatus is trying to suppress him? And I think futures markets are saying that they think that the second narrative will probably hold the day, and that this will not work. If the idea of this prosecution by Alvin Bragg was to stop Trump from becoming president, futures markets are saying that's likely to backfire, and that he is narrowly favored to win right now. By the way, I don't have a dog in this fight. My job is to, I am emotionally detached. I'm just giving us the gift of data.
Well, it is a helpful gift. And when money's on the line, Jerry, it's probably a better indicator than somebody answering their phone and saying, answering a poll. Another indicator might be what they just announced about an hour ago, and that is that the Trump campaign raised $35 million yesterday after the guilty verdict. So there's another gift of data for us. All right, let's move on, Jerry. Corporate engagement, two big companies that you've been thinking about this week. Tell us about it.
Yeah, well, one is Exxon. Oh, this was maybe the battle of the shareholder season. Exxon, largest privately owned energy company in the world. Basically, every year, they've got a whole bunch of speeches by anti-oil and gas activists that use a kind of a little loophole in the rules to get access to the proxy statement. So they get to put these essentially these op-eds, you know, on the proxy statement against oil and gas. They don't have to be genuine investors in the sense that they're investing for making money. An activist group can basically borrow someone's shares for a few weeks and then vote on their behalf or do a proposal on their behalf. Wow. So Exxon said that went to the courts, actually sued one of these activist groups and said, listen, they admit in their prospectus that they're not investing to make money in us. They're only investing to shrink our oil business. So they're not aligned with other investors. They're using these technicalities in order to get on the ballot. We don't think that they ought to be able to commandeer this space. So they sued. And the activist group pulled out, probably because the law was not on their side. Well, what happened is a bunch of left of center activists, were angry about this. They said it violates democracy. Of course, it doesn't really violate democracy. Democracy would say that we make our decisions about climate change through the democratic process, through elections, not through corporate governance, right? I think that that ought to be a political decision, not a corporate governance thing. The blue state pensions led by CalPERS, California, the largest public pension in the United States, went to war against Exxon, called for a vote against all Exxon board members. The red state pension said, no, absolutely not. Exxon is right. We shouldn't be punishing them, and we should not be using public pension dollars to essentially nationalize this company. The vote was held this week. Every member of the board was reelected, and the average support was 95%. Last year, the average support was 96%, which means all of that crusade against Exxon by activist groups and blue state pension managers, et cetera, amounted to depriving them of one percentage point of support. So this was the big story. This is a huge story that we don't know about, which is that when a company stood up to activists, the shareholders backed the company, which means that the activist groups that are trying to get these companies out of the oil and gas business are kind of revealed as not having the power that they've pretended to have. Companies have been kowtowing to them, and other activist groups on, say, sexual identity issues have been kowtowing to some degree to activist groups. That might be coming to an end now. A big company stood up to them and won big. And I think that might change the power calculus going forward. And it just might be that we get back to companies being focused on their core business and not being pulled around by the nose by activist groups.
Wouldn't that be nice? Wow, Jerry, that's incredible. Well, thank you for that update. Listen, let's save the market update and your work on one of the biggest pharmaceutical companies in the world in corporate engagement for next week. All right.
All right. We can't wait to hear what Ann has to ask about.
All right. Bless you, buddy. Ann, let's talk just for a moment. I understand you got a letter from the IRS. How can I help you? All right. It looks like we're going to get Ann on next week. So, Ann, thank you for your call today. We appreciate it. I'm sorry we didn't get you on the air, but we will look forward to talking to you next week. And that was Jerry Boyer, our resident economist. Always great to have him each Friday. There's never a shortage of things to talk about. We'll pick up that conversation next week and give you an update on his work on Merck, but also the economy. Where's it going? Bottom line is the latest inflation data was about as expected, but what does that mean for the future of the markets? Well, we'll pick that conversation up next week. In the meantime, have a wonderful weekend. Come back and join us next time here on Faith and Finance. God bless you.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.